Hey there, this is Dee.
And this is Miles.
And this is, so how's that working out for you?
And we got some things to talk about.
Let's get into it.
Well, well, good morning, y'all, and Happy New Year. Welcome 2021. First episode this year, hanging with Miles, huh? In the next new year of 2021. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. Hey, just want to give a kind of a special shout out, do a little bit of business as I can, and want to welcome aboard a couple new countries, Norway and Japan. You know, we're now broadcasting in 10 countries right now who are picking us up in about 18 states across the United States. Wow, man, growing and appreciating you guys all the time. Listens are going up, getting a lot of good feedback. So, hey, thank you guys. So, I'm going to go real quick right back into, like we normally do, we talk about CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, because that's what I do. And, you know, a lot of my clients and people do tune in to get some of this information, and then, you know, we talk about it in our session. So, you know, I always like to talk about this because I know that on average it takes about 7 times, they say, before it really starts to stick. You know, reading it, hearing about it, and starting to gather it. So, and that's just to get it in there. That's not for it to really be learned. So the more I talk about this with you, I know the more that some of this is going to stick. You're going to be able to utilize it for yourself, for your family, for your friends. And you're going to be able to have a different perspective on how to look at some of them cognitive things that are going on in our lives that are not beneficial to us. So ABC, when we talk about cognitive behavior, the ABCs, the activating life event, that is the A, and the A is, what are those things that shaped us in our lives? The events, the times, the, you know, the problems we've gone through, the real bad situations that have happened in our lives, our personal history, you know, just our life experiences, our conversations with people. And remember, when I talk about these, you know, even our relationships with people, those are our activating events. And these are the things that begin the process of how we respond to the world, or how we react out there, or how we even treat ourselves, you know, on making ourselves better because of some of these activating events that have happened in our lives. And with those activating events, like I've talked about in some of the past podcasts, and what I talk about with my clients, is that is the opportunity to look at that activating event in a different way. Once you've identified that's your activating event, that's great. Now we can start to look at that activating event from a different perspective. And we've talked about that in some of our other podcasts. And then it rolls into beliefs. So it goes from our activating events and then our beliefs. Now, the B, that is the thing that we attach to those activating events. So say, for instance, you had a really bad situation, a car accident. And you now attach all those experiences to that event, and you create these beliefs like they were a bad driver, or the weather was bad, or this or that, stuff that you don't really know are true facts. You assume a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, we're just assuming these things happened, and we don't really have good information and good data behind that, but we still attach that to our activating life event, that thing that kind of starts messing things up in our lives. And then those beliefs, like I said, we attach that. And man, and a lot of times the things we're attaching, you'll find out, and what I'm finding out is they're wrong. And we just didn't take enough time to either look at it from a different way, gather some more information, talk to somebody else about it, read something about it, learn something about it, so that I can actually put a different belief to that activating event. Because like I told you, the activating event's not going to go away. It happened. So only thing I can do is choose to look at that in a different way, or gather more information so I can have a different perspective. And that is our belief, right? And then it rolls into consequences. The C, those are the things, the emotions that come out of that. Our anger, our how we feel, our sensations, anxiety, depression, all those kind of things. Those are the consequences from first that activating life event, then that belief, and now there's a consequence. And the consequence, 9 times out of 10, for a lot of us, it's negative, unless it's a real positive event. But it's not impacting us in a negative way, so we just kind of push through that. But those negative things and how we treat people, how we respond to certain events, how certain triggers of anxiety and depression and these things come along, there's an activating event, then there's a belief you put to it, and now you're dealing with the consequence. And that's the big one, you guys. That's the things we want to get after. That's the things I got after in my life. Those are the things my wife has gotten after. Those are the things some of my friends. And now with my clients, I'm seeing it. And we're able to just get at things, and we're able to target them because we understand them. And then we're able to attach a different belief because we got different information. We're looking at it from a different perspective. And boom, now we're changing those consequences. And now they don't have the same impact on the world. Now I'm not having that anxiety, that depression. Now I'm not feeling a certain way. Now I'm starting to achieve some of my life goals. And that's how that works. And then on the second side of that is just some of the rules that, you know, I kind of like. And I want you to understand also that it's part of that is, you know, I truly believe this. This is number one for me. You are not broken. Yes, there's a lot of information out there, DSMs, medical books, this and that, you know, that tell you you are broken, you have this disease, you have that disease, you have this, you have that. I'm not taking away from any of that, and I'm not taking away from the sciences of that, but from a cognitive level and what I've seen and what I understand is you're not broken. You just need to be understood. You need to take the time to understand what's going on. What are these triggering events? What are my beliefs? And how am I reacting to them? You know, I'm not broken, you guys. And that's what you're going to find out. And that's why in a lot of things, you know, and I've seen in marriage, couples coaching and counseling, and I've seen in because I've been through therapies. I've done all these things. So I've done the sciences, and I get it. But what I'm coming to find out is a lot of those things don't work. And a lot of them are just drawn out. And if you even look at the numbers, and I'm, like I said, I'm not somebody to bash. Just look at the numbers and you'll see who's having success and who's not and why they're not. And that's why people struggle to find help because they're not getting it the way that they believe they should or the way they think they're supposed to get it. And a lot of it, like I said, starts with you. You know, and if you've listened to the past podcast, you know, ownership of self and ownership of those things. But you are not broken. You just need to be understood and have somebody around to help you understand because maybe they've been through it and they got an understanding. And that's what we want to do. And that's what I've been through. And those are the changes. And I've had massive changes. So success is there, you guys. It really, really is. If you learn something that's unhelpful to yourself, you can also unlearn it. That's the great thing about how our mind works. We are in charge. We are in charge of that. We can unlearn things that we've learned. You just have to identify that they are no longer helping you or helping you go in the direction that you want to go in your life. Or you have things in your life that are broken. You're not broken. You just got little things in your life that need the right attention and need a little work. But you can unlearn what you've learned. So if you've got some things that you've learned that are not helpful, you can unlearn them. It's very, very possible. Every person, and I know you've heard me say this, you are solely responsible. There's nobody else responsible for your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, your behaviors. you're responsible. And once you start taking responsibility for that, that it's not somebody else's fault. They made me feel, she made me feel, this makes me feel. No. They're not responsible for that. You are. And once you start owning that, like I have and my clients have and people I know, once you own it, you start to be able to deal with it a whole lot better. You know, like for me, I'm that person that's in between there that's helping people see that. That's all I'm doing. I'm not fixing them. I'm just being that person that's showing them that, hey, take responsibility, take accountability for it. I understand these things happened to you in your past. Okay, they're not going to go away. I get it. And they were bad. But is there a different way we can look at it? Is there a different perspective? Do I have to feel that way about that? And you don't. You just got to have the discipline to, hey, take the time and pause, like we've talked about in some of the other places, you know, using that STOP, you know, and just stopping it and taking it in and let's get after it, right? It's something that we can do. I mean, I really believe it. All right. So I said I was going to talk to you guys also about some relationship stuff. And like I said, this is for men, for women. You know, it's just good information. You know, I like to get after it. I get up early and I get my information together and I present it. And I learn and I learn and I learn. And I just want to give you as much information that I have been through and have experienced. And so I'm going to talk about, it's called ways to keep that relationship train on the tracks. You know, I like to use that train on the tracks. Keep that train on the tracks, you know, and then see it from a different viewpoint. So I got the train on the tracks. My relationship train is on the tracks. And I'm keeping it there through skills, through tools. And then I'm looking at everything from a different viewpoint. So I'm not caught with looking at it through one spectrum, but I'm able to gather information and have a really good viewpoint. And a couple things that I want to go over that I believe and understand create good relationships. And something I wanted to talk about to you. Humility. Now, what does humility have to do with a relationship? Well, it's one of the hardest things for us to do in a relationship because, first of all, it's pushing your ego out of the way. It's putting that to the side. It's putting that relationship, that friend, that partner, that loved one, it's putting them ahead. It's putting them in front. It's saying they're more important right now. Not because, see, I don't want us to understand that because we are important. We need what we need and we want what we want, and I get it. But when we're talking about establishing good relationships, humility. Let's talk about humility. Humility, one of the toughest things for us to deal with. One of the toughest things for us to discipline our life to have. Because really, it's putting your self-gratification on hold, on pause, because you want something else for your partner, your loved one, your friend. You're putting them in front. Humility is being able to take it back and sit back and say, you know what? This situation for them is more important than to how I need this self-gratification or my ego needs to be stroked right now, because that's the big one, is our egos get in the way of humility all the time. Humility is biblical. God talks about it because he understood how important it was for all of us. How important it is to have successful relationships. He knew this 3,500 years ago when we first started talking about this scripture. So understand that, you guys, that humility is huge in just the fact that I am putting my partner in front of my self-gratification. Humility. The second one, and now you can talk about this one, you know, I could give you a big scientific spill. And the big one is for me, is that we are in control of our thoughts. Now, a lot of times we're not in control of what comes in our brain. what comes to us, what people say, but we are in control of our thoughts and how we approach it. We are in control of that. We are in control of that action. We, 100%, we control that. It just takes a little bit of discipline. It really does. So remember that. You know, I can't always control what's coming in, but I can control what's going out. I can. I surely can. It just takes discipline. And that helps relationships, right? If I'm in control of my thoughts and I'm in control of my actions and I'm in control of what I put out there, then that means that I'm doing the proper maintenance for my relationships, that I'm not saying everything that's on my mind. I am being thoughtful. I am being kind. I'm taking the time to do that because I'm in control of that. One of the big things I like that keeps the train on the tracks for me as far as relationships is we push the good things up about our friends, families, wives, mothers, brothers, that we push the good things up about them, the things that they do too well, that they make us feel well when they're around, you know, they bring positive energy. They might have all these other things that they don't do so right. I don't need to focus on that. I can push the things up that I really enjoy about my mate and about my partner, about my friend, my coworker, or I can sit back and focus on things that they're bad about. But that doesn't mean that I can't have conversation with them and address that in a very positive way and not in a negative way and look for the right timing to do so. That doesn't mean I can't still address some of those things because I want to see them grow or I want to help them or it is having an impact on our relationship. But I don't have to choose to focus on that. I can push the good things up because what happens like in marriages is if all I'm doing is thinking about the things that my partner doesn't do versus the things that my partner does do, guess what happens? And this is scientifically proven. We start looking outside of that relationship for those things. So like in a marriage, you start looking outside of your marriage for the things that you are always thinking that your partner doesn't have. You start to look outside of it instead of towards it. But if I'm always positive about my relationship and I'm thinking about the positive things, I feel better about them. And then the things that aren't so positive about them, we can slowly work on. But I don't have to focus on that. Right? So again, I'm in control. I'm in control of my thoughts. I'm in control. This one right here, you know, not everybody's going to like, because it's tough. And this is for men, women, everybody, you know, this is tough. And it's admitting when you're wrong in a relationship, admitting when you're wrong. One thing that my wife said about this when I was talking to her about it, is it builds trust, that you trust people who admit when they're wrong. So it could be in any, think about it, relationships, any of them. When people step up and say, you know what, that was my bad. I blew that. I didn't think about that before I said it. I didn't talk to you in a way that I could have. I didn't put enough thought behind that before I responded. Because like, say we're in control of our thoughts. And I'm going to admit when I'm wrong. I'm going to take ownership of that argument. I'm going to take ownership of that misunderstanding. Man, that builds trust and people want to be around you. Your relationships grow, they get stronger because now people begin to trust you because you're somebody who has integrity, who owns what's going on. And a lot of times, and this is something me and Dio talk about in relationships, is that when you own your part, even if they don't own their part, you're building something there. You're holding them accountable and they don't even know it yet. Because you're owning it and you're saying, hey, you know what, I did it. And I'm not even expecting you to respond. I did that. That's my bad. I blew that. Even though they have some ownership there, you're going to be able to hold them accountable like later, like we've said. Well, you know, I noticed that I'm always talking about it and I'm always taking accepting responsibility and accountability for things. But I know in some of those circumstances, you know, you might have had some responsibility in that too. And, you know, I feel like, or I'm beginning to believe that, you know, our trust in our relationship is starting to fall apart a little bit because, you know, you're not owning up to some of the things that you probably should be. So admit when you are wrong. It's a big one. It's a big one. It's tough. You know, a lot of people, there's that, you know, not being humble enough to get that in there, you know, not moving that ego out of the way. But that's what keeps relationship trains on the track. Trust, right? This one right here, this one's a little different. And this is, you know, one of my rules that I really like. And, you know, I've been spreading this out and I've been sharing this with people. Especially, you know, like I might only see one of my clients maybe, you know, once a week or talk to them, you know, via Zoom, maybe once a week or talk to them on the phone or maybe text them, you know, not a lot. So this one right here, I think is really good. It could be a friend, family, uncle, brother, you know, a boss, you know, somebody that, you know, you've built some trust. And what I call this is a weakness mentor. Man, Miles, what is a weakness mentor? That sounds weird. That's somebody that in your life that they don't have these weaknesses because these are weaknesses that you have that you want to correct. These are things that you feel in your life you're lacking that you would like to see progress. And it's called a weakness mentor. And what they're going to be, they're going to be the ones that are going to hold you accountable to that. There's somebody that has lived that, they're going through it, or have gone through it, or are going through it right now, and they can help guide you through some of the weaknesses. A weakness mentor. Somebody that you can confide in and say, hey, look, these are the things I'm working on. And then there's somebody that's going to commit to checking in on it. Say, hey, how you doing with that? Well, what do you need? Let's take away some excuses. You know, one thing is a good coach, and is a good father, mentor, or whatever. And I've done all these. Is you take away the excuses. You take away the excuses. That's what a good weakness mentor does, is they take away your excuses. They hold you accountable because you've asked them to hold you accountable to your weaknesses and help you grow in them. So weakness mentor. I really hope that one sinks in for you guys, because you can get that, you know. You can get that from me. You know, that's part of the service that I provide, and me and Dee provide as marriage coaches, and as a cognitive behavior therapist. These are things that I've done. I've also mentored. I've life coached, motivational speaker. Whatever you need, you find that person that can give you that and will hold you accountable for your weaknesses. Last but not least, it is like I've said before, and some of you got to work it. You got to memorize these things. You got to get after it. You got to do it. You know, we can sit here and talk about it till we're blue in the face. But you have to get after it. You have to put it to memorization, the things that you want. Journal it. You know, part of the process is, for me, is I journal a lot of things. You know, I journal down what I want to get accomplished. I journal down what I'm going through, my thoughts. You know, use that journal. That's a big one, you guys. I'm, you know, that's something we can talk about later, some of the good habits that I've created and I've helped create in other people is, and one of them is journaling. You'd be amazed how calmer your brain gets and how better you can be in relationships when you start jotting down a lot of your thoughts. But like I said, memorize, get after it. All right, I just want to talk about a couple things and finish up with a couple things that are on the top of my mind that I wanted to share with you that are related. But I want to leave you with something strong, something positive. One tool that I believe really, really works, and I've seen work in relationships, and you only have to do this once a day. Take time to appreciate at least one thing your partner, your friend, somebody in your life, relationship-wise, that you want to grow and get closer to, and make them know that you really care, that you appreciate them. So tell them one thing per day that you appreciate they do. Like, I appreciate that you make my lunch for me every day. I appreciate that you cook for me. I appreciate you do my laundry. I appreciate how you know, warm my car up for me when you know I'm going to go down that way and you've already been ahead of me. I appreciate when you make coffee for me, even though you don't drink coffee, and you make it for me in the morning. I appreciate, you know, you getting up and making breakfast. Whatever they've done for you or whatever they're doing for you. I appreciate your conversation. I appreciate when you pick up the phone and call me. I appreciate your love letter. Whatever that person does in your life, the biggest to the smallest, because what it does, because this is a big one, you guys, is, and this isn't, this is studies, this is science, is that one of the biggest things that impact relationships, and it's an insecurity, and a lot of us carry it, is that you're not adding value, you're not important, I'm going to lose you, you're going to leave me, our bond is not close enough. So you'd be amazed on how many people have the fear of losing that relationship and how you can curve that for that individual, because you might not feel that way at all. Like, you're my baby, you know, you're my partner, I love you, whatever, you're good to go. But they don't know that. So when you appreciate them, what this does, and this is data, it builds them in understanding that they add value to your life, that they're important to you. You're not going to leave them. Even if you just tell them, you know, baby, I love you and I appreciate you. You're just great in what you do for me. Just, it doesn't even have to be specific. It just be that they are appreciated. I appreciate what you do for me on a daily basis. Then they begin to not have that belief or understanding in that, that you might leave them, or I'm not important, I don't add value. How hard is it for you to say, hey, baby, I appreciate what you're doing? You see something. It's kind of like, I remember at work, it was catch somebody doing something good instead of always catching somebody doing something bad. Catch them doing something good and appreciate it. And I tell you, what you'll see is that relationship even bond even closer, because that's one of the big things. You'd be surprised. People really run around here thinking, even when you don't have that intention, that you could be leaving them. You don't appreciate them. They have no value in their life. One thing per day. Let them know what you appreciate. A couple sayings that I wanted to leave you with, and it kind of in turns with that, is don't judge me on my past. I don't live there anymore. Don't judge me on my past, because I don't live there anymore. I am progressing. And what do? We want to bring our past to our future, right? But if you want to grow in those relationships, you're in control. Don't judge me by my past. I don't live there anymore. Especially when you see that person making efforts to grow in that relationship and be better in that relationship. It's just not fair. At least in my eyes. And I could be wrong, but that's how I see it. And that's the way I like to communicate. Pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. Let me read that to you one more time. Pride is concerned with who is right. That's that ego. Humility is concerned with what is right. Pride poisons. Humility heals. Pride poisons. Humility heals. And don't get me wrong with that pride. Because pride, hey, that's something that gets us to certain things. We buckle up, we strap it up, and we go. Because we have some pride in ourselves. But when it starts to impact our relationships, and it's breaking it down, remember, pride poisons and humility heals. Humility does not mean you think less of yourself. It means you think of yourself less. And hey, that is really cool. And what I get out of that and why it's important to me is, like we've talked about, I'm not weak because I'm humble. I'm strong because I'm humble, and I'm putting other people in front. I'm humble, and I have enough humility to do that. I'm not thinking about myself all the time. Stay focused, stay humble, and always get on your hustle. Hey, you guys, it's been awesome talking with you, and I have a special prayer for all of you, is that, you know, you take this information and you build somebody, and you take it to your family, your friends, your children, and help somebody. That's my prayer for all of you out there, is that even if you just touch one, you've done something. And that's why it's important, and I ask you to share this on your platforms, share this in any way that you can, post it, subscribe to us, have other people subscribe to us. You know, that's what it's all about, you guys, is making this world a little bit better, making our lives a little more fuller. You know, that's really what it's about. And our relationships drive that. So, hey, I love y'all, man. And appreciate y'all. Till next time, it's your boy. Holla. All right, y'all. Till next time.
Peace.